Baobab.org is a podcasting platform and a medium for storytelling. This podcast is also available on all the major podcasting apps, including Apple and Google Podcasts. Podcast your life with Baobab.org.
First question, just give us a little bit of your background, like how you got into podcasting.
So basically, for the last 10 years, I've been doing, or I was involved in, on the live entertainment side of things. So mixing large scale concerts and, you know, corporate events and stuff like that. And then, of course, with everything that's been going on for the last year, I've kind of repurposed my skills and moved into basically online content. So yeah, podcasting and some video work as well. And yeah, I've been fortunate enough to kind of, I guess, be able to find somewhere else to put my skills to good use. And I don't think there's any going back. So hopefully the ball keeps rolling as it's going now. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
All right. What do you wish you knew when you started out podcasting?
Well, look, I suppose for me specifically, you know, I don't have my own podcast. I don't think this is really going to answer your question. I mean, I've been working with audio and software for, like I said, for 10 years, you know, even though I was doing the live event side of things, I was very involved in the studio side of things. So I do, you know, as a hobby, kind of wrote a lot of music, mixed a lot of my own music. So, yeah, I think, you know, as soon as I kind of moved into it, it was very easy for me to kind of get going on that side of things. And I mean, working with clients and just getting good results for them, right? And I'd almost go as far as saying my experience in the live industry actually has given me a bit more of a, I'd say, an advantage, because I kind of know, you know, not working in a studio where the environment's like completely perfect. For the last 10 years, I've literally had to make the best out of sometimes, you know, the worst situation. So, yeah, I'd say I've gotten pretty good at getting a not so professional studio recording to sound quite good. So, yeah, I think some of my clients look at me like a little bit of a wizard sometimes. I don't know if that's so much of a good thing, because it kind of, I might say sometimes it encourages them to just be a little bit lazy on the recording side, so they're not too worried, because, you know, Richard will fix it. So, but yeah, I think, yeah, going into it, it's been pretty easy for me. I mean, there's a lot of other stuff, like, you know, the podcasting platforms and stuff, but it's not really very complicated. I think on the audio side of things, as long as you're staying to spec and you're uploading your files to spec, yeah, I would say it's quite a simple thing for me, at least. Yeah.
What would you say is your moment when you fell in love with audio? You know, I was going to ask you radio, but I mean, you've got like a live background. But what is it that drew you to live music, that drew you to perfecting it and mastering it and mixing it and all of those things? What was that spark?
Yeah, let me just say that I wouldn't say I've perfected it. I'm definitely learning every day. But I would say, yeah, probably when I was about... So 2 years out of school, so around 2021, I'd taken up the hobby of, like I said, kind of writing my own music. And yeah, I was actually, it's a funny story, because I was doing a job that I didn't really enjoy. I was doing maintenance work at a casino, or basically a casino in Sandton. And the one day one of the guys above me basically approached me, and they did shows there. So they did kind of weekly shows there, and he approached me and they were looking for someone to kind of take over the kind of running the shows for them. And that would, you know, and obviously that would get me a bit of extra money and stuff like that. So yeah, obviously I said yes and learned how to kind of work a very small mixer. So it was like I believe it was like a 12 channel Soundcraft. It had like built-in effects, and I learned how to use that. I think this was in 2010. Yeah, it was, because I remember doing shows there for the World Cup. I ran a bunch of shows there, and then the one day I was on my way to work, or I was going somewhere, and I saw this 3-ton van with some really cool branding, and it was an audiovisual company, and I think I wrote down the number, or I remembered the name, called them up, and got an interview, got the job, and
wow.
Just pretty much scaled up from there. I mean, I left that company, 2 to 3 years later, moved to a bigger company, bigger staging, sound and lighting company, basically where I got most of my experience. So moving into bigger concerts. And then, I was there for about 5 years, and then I left there and went to move on to an even larger scale. So that's pretty much it, eh? But it's definitely been an interesting journey the last 10 years. Yeah, live entertainment is not for everyone. It's a tough job. So I think the break is welcomed. I'm not glad to be in the position I'm in now, just in terms of what's happened over the last year. But I think my body's been waiting for a bit of a rest. So I'm pretty happy with where I am now.
So do you think you'll go back into live events again someday?
Like I said, the industry is not for everyone. I've never really been a desk person. So I've definitely still got that bug in me. So, I mean, I would not turn down mixing a live concert. I mean, it's a completely, you can't compare the two, right? Do I miss the, you know, there's positives and negatives to everything, right? Do I miss the, you know, the long load-ins and the, you know, sometimes 24, 36, 48 hour days? Not really. Do I miss mixing the bands, meeting people and stuff like that? Yeah. So, yeah, I think with everything that's going on, I don't know. I don't like to predict these things. But, you know, I don't see that industry opening up for at least, I don't know, another year or so, and really opening up for another 2 years. And that's like just really a guess, you know. But will I go back to it? I doubt it. And if I did, it would be in a very not as involved as I was, basically.
Be more laid back, more delegation of duties.
Yeah, I actually say to myself, you know, we're at 35, you need to stop this. you need to stop like the, you know, the heavy lifting and stuff like that, because you can only do it for so long. So little bit early for me, not quite 35, I think it's kind of forced me to, you know, into places that, maybe I didn't know I could go. And I've been fortunate enough to, I suppose, start making a success of it. And like I said, hopefully the ball just keeps rolling, eh? Yeah.
What do you love about podcasting specifically? Or do you love podcasting? I assume you do. If so, what do you love about it?
I like the storytelling side of podcasting. I always say it's actually quite funny, because I always say if I were rich, I'd be poor, because I'd spend all my money on learning. So I'd probably say I'm a little bit addicted to like online courses, right? And why I'm saying that is because, like, obviously some podcasts, it's about education, which I enjoy, but for me, I prefer to consume that in a video format. So education on the podcast side of things. Yeah. I really enjoy the people who are putting together stories and stuff like that. And the people who are really putting the effort in. I mean, one of my favorite podcasts, I mean, those guys take 100 to 200 hours to produce one episode. So yeah, I think I'm definitely attracted to the ones that are...
Which one is that?
20,000 Hertz. I don't know if you've heard of it. So they're... I believe they're an American sound company, De Facto Sound. But yeah, like, just amazing episodes, really good sounding episodes. And you can really hear that they've put the effort in. You know, if there's anyone who wants to go and have a listen to that, it's definitely... And they do like game sound, they do movie sound and all of that stuff. So they're really into like the sound design side of things. And obviously it's all coming out of a professional studio. So the production quality is like, it's really up there. But yeah, if you want to go and have a listen to like a high quality podcast, I would definitely say that's definitely up there for me, just in terms of quality and the amount of time they've spent on it. Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. All right, my final question really has to do around any kind of equipment tips that you might have for somebody that just wants to start out podcasting. You know the hurdles that people face in podcasting. So if you could speak to that specifically, like, what do you need, like a starter kit? What would you say to that?
So I'd stay away from the laptop mic, if you can. But my biggest piece of advice for anyone who wants to get into podcasting is to really, and this is before equipment and everything, right? Because I've seen quite a few. I mean, just, I haven't been doing this for long, but just in my kind of year of getting into this, I've seen a lot of people start and stop because I think people think it's a lot easier than it actually is. And I just mean in terms of the overall work that needs to go into it. So everything from, you know, finding guests, writing scripts, getting the stuff edited and stuff like that. Really do your research, really understand how much work you need to put into it. And again, go and listen to episodes that are really good, and really work out how much time you're going to need to dedicate to get to that level. Okay. A lot of what I see is people they start straight away. So it's like, using the laptop mic or whatever it might be. And they kind of get 10 episodes in and they realize, oh no, this is actually really bad. I need to change it up and stuff like that. So that's just before the equipment thing. Like, just do your research, get educated on that side of things and decide, can I actually dedicate my time to this, right? Because it's time consuming. Equipment wise, I mean, you can get pretty decent mics for like, you know, 1,000 to 2,000 rand. I suppose if you're looking for budget, you would probably want to go for like a USB mic, and you would probably want to combine that with free software, right? So whatever it is, Audacity and stuff like that. I know there are manufacturers that, you know, if you buy certain mics, you'll get recording software with it. And if I had to choose, if I had to recommend a mic, I would definitely say, so if we're talking about a USB mic, I'm a massive fan of the, and this is probably more in like the 200, now I'm talking in dollars now, so 3,000 to 5,000 rand range, the Shure MV7. I've got a couple of clients use that and I'm really, really impressed with with everything about it, to be quite honest, the noise rejection and just the overall quality of it. And then a step up for that would be the Shure SM7B. And that's about, I think, what is that? $500. That's what I have in my head for the price for that mic. That'll need a sound card though. So I have clients use that, and that is, I would say, probably, if you're doing like professional podcasting, I would say that's probably the most used microphone just in professional podcasting. And then, yeah, that's, I mean, you know, there's the equipment side of things, and then there's also just making improvements to your environment. I think that the clients of mine that get the best results are the ones that put in the most effort. Okay. So I've got clients who'll huddle up, like, you know, I'm just sitting here with nothing in front of me, but I've got clients who will put blankets and pillows and those are the ones, yeah. And those are the ones that get the best results. The people who really, test, improve. And yeah, again, you know, on the mic thing as well, there's a lot of, if there's one term I really dislike, is podcast mic. There's no such thing as a podcast mic. I'm sorry. You know, it's a microphone. And just in terms of microphones, obviously with the whole podcast scene and stuff, there's a lot of people who've seen a market to make podcast mics, okay? Stick to the mics or brands that have been doing it for a really long time. So early 1900s, mid 1900s, you know. So the Shures, the AKGs, the Audio Technicas, and stuff like that. You know, stick to those brands. That's just my personal opinion. I would rather, you know, in my professional opinion, trust people who've been doing it for, well, longer than I've been alive, number one. And yeah, just really, I think it's just one thing that worries me about the podcast industry is that there's a lot of information out there. But yeah, just in terms of microphones, I think try and stick to brands that have been doing it for a really long time.
Just to follow up on that, could you offer some recording tips for someone that's never, ever held a microphone before? My first time, my first microphone. How do I hold it? Where do I position it? All of those kinds of tips.
I would definitely recommend getting a stand just so you have that control. Having it on your desk. So I actually have a little tabletop stand that actually doesn't work for me because if I kind of sit by my desk, it's too far away from my mouth. So get a stand that you can have pretty decent control over. And yeah, I mean, I always say test, right? So get it. If you can get a pop filter, that'll allow you, or a windshield, that'll allow you to get your mic quite close to your mouth. So distance is very important, right? If your mic is far away, you're not going to get a very clean and clear sound. And if it's too close and you don't have the pop filter and the windshield, you're going to get the other side of that. So you'll have a clean recording with less room noise, but you'll have a lot of popping and, yeah, plosives and stuff that'll sound distorted and for me a little bit unnatural. So yeah, I would definitely say test, and probably about 10 to 15 centimeters away from your mouth. Try different positions. Read your microphone's manual, because I've come across a lot of people who don't read the manual. They kind of just set it up and you know, it's pointing the wrong way. The settings aren't optimized. So, you know, if you're going to buy a mic, make sure you just do the research, read the manual, make sure you're using it properly. And then, yeah, just make sure, I think it, just in terms of recording, make sure you have a good, healthy recording signal as well. Not too loud. There's no, I think with digital audio and where we are today with audio, you don't have to record super loud to get above the, you know, just to be within that range of, you know, for digital audio. So yeah, just a nice healthy level. I always say like have your peaks at minus 12 dB. So if you do have a meter on your recording software, try and get your laughing and your loud parts to like to minus 12. And yeah, that should be pretty good, you know, to edit with, and you'll have a bit of headroom to work with. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it. So just make sure you're in a good room and make sure you just do a few tests and that's it. It's really just about preparing, you know, and not rushing into things.
And just the basics, like a carpeted room, preferably, you know, close the windows, you know, just if you can use those blankets, you know, try and get them in there. Make sure you record in a quiet place at night, that kind of stuff. All of those kinds of stuff, obviously, go without saying. But just thought I'd elaborate on that. But thank you for that. That was very useful. That was really very useful as well, just in terms of giving people some insights. So is there anything that you would like to add or elaborate on, perhaps, that you'd like to cover, perhaps?
I would just like to encourage people to focus more on quality and really, you know, I work with a lot of like people coming to me as new clients, right? And it's quite funny because I get really, really bad recordings and, you know, they're more worried about getting all the ums and ahs out than they are about improving their recording quality. So I'm really just encouraging, or I would encourage people to focus less on that, you know, allow your content to be human and really just focus on how good those ums and ahs sound, right? So, you know, that's just basically it for me. I think I'd really just like for people to, I'd love to hear more podcasts with just a higher level of recorded quality. Yeah. So yeah, just do your research, educate yourself, release your podcast to specs and have fun. Most importantly, be yourself, have fun, and just make sure you know what it takes to produce something half decent, right? It doesn't have to be studio quality, but you know, audible and yeah, pleasant to listen to, basically.
Okay. All right. Well, those are all my questions. Thank you so much for your time. It was very helpful.
Awesome. Thanks, Candace.
Thank you for listening to this Spudcaster podcast. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe.